Hi, and welcome to America Weekend. This weekend, whatever you're up to, I want to thank you for taking us along. I'm Valerie Smaldone. Kate Hudson, the actress, is very well known for her role in the film Almost Famous, which garnered her a Golden Globe Award and Academy Award nomination as well. She's been in films like How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, You, Me, and Dupree, Fool's Gold, and Bride Wars. She's the founder of an activewear line called Fabletics and just released a new book, Pretty Happy, Healthy Ways to Love Your Body, available at Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com. I had the chance to speak to Kate about her new book. Hey, Kate, thanks so much for joining us on America Weekend. You have such a busy life, being a mother, an actor, a businesswoman, and now this book, Pretty Happy, Healthy Ways to Love Your Body. So I have to ask you, what prompted you to add this to your plate?
good question. They came to me as something that they asked if it was something that I'd be interested in doing because they thought that, you know, people would want to know about it. And I, to be honest, I never thought about writing a lifestyle book. At least I never thought about writing a book at 36, even though now I'm 37. But I thought about it and I was like, you know, I'm so passionate about it with my company, Fabletics, and everything that I'm doing. It's sort of been happening very organically. I thought this is a nice way to sort of get out, you know, some of my philosophies and hopefully reach some people to sort of start thinking about approaching their bodies maybe differently and their state of mind. And I did, and it was an amazing experience. I worked with this great woman, Billy Fitzpatrick, and she really helped me sort of navigate my way through the structure. And it was just great. And I couldn't be happier with the result. And I feel like I've, especially on Instagram, I've been seeing a lot of girls enjoying the book. So it's been a great process for me and very rewarding.
Oh, I'm happy to hear that. And probably was a little bit of a surprise too for you, because if you hadn't thought about it and then this was presented to you, how nice that it worked out so well.
No, it's funny, you know, sort of the way that, you know, the life sort of takes its turns and stuff sometimes. And, you know, I've always been very focused on my work, on telling stories and producing movies and developing film and acting and wanting to direct and all those things. But, you know, and I love design and clothes, but as you start to get into that stuff, and which is how my life has started, you know, a whole other thing sort of opened up for me, which has been probably, I would say, the most rewarding part of my life is reaching women to sort of start thinking about their lives in a healthy way. So it's become this like passion of mine that kind of happened quite organically instead of it being my main focus in life. There's been a really nice sort of, I feel like, if you know, sometimes you have these little sort of, I don't know, things just sort of happen as they happen. And when they do, they surprise you that they become sort of such a huge part of your life. And health and fitness and wellness is something that was a surprising way for me to get into, but it's something that I'm so deeply passionate about. It's been a really nice last sort of 4 years.
You know, you mentioned in some of the interviews I've read about you, it's very difficult to describe your routine, your health style, your lifestyle in sound bites, because you get just short little sound bites in media, and you have the opportunity in the book to expand upon it. So let's talk about, in the moments that we do have, how we can all be better in tune with our bodies, because you're able to tap into, is it an inner voice, an intuition that you have? Tell us how you do it.
Well, I think that one of the things that I talk about in my book is about tuning in and really starting to connect to what your likes and dislikes are. Then there's the science of it, which I think is something I sort of hit on in the book. But you know, the science of weight loss and food, and it's just the science. You know, it's not a philosophy. It is what it is, right? You know, we know that what we eat and how we eat is going to affect what we put on. It's going to affect our health and all of those things. So I talk about some of that in the book. But that is something that's just now at this point comes down to science. But one of the things that I find that's the hardest part of all of this is not someone telling you what is good for you to eat or what's good for you in terms of how to work out and what you need to be burning, say, in order to lose weight. I think the hard part is motivation. Right, and the hard part is how you feel about yourself in those moments where you want to be motivated, and sometimes you know I feel like, you know, it's like tune in first and get in touch with the things that are motivating to you or do make you feel good, or find out sort of where you are in your life, you know, that it might be stopping you from making real changes in your life. And, you know, I think that it's one of the things I talk about too, is that, you know, everybody wants a quick and easy fix, but it takes work and discipline and it's something you have to be prepared to put the work and the effort in. And then the more effort and the more work you put in, the more disciplined you are, the easier it becomes. And so I really want to make, for me, it's like, how do you make that fun? How do you make motivating to a healthy life? Because, you know, it's really fun to have pizza. Mm-hmm. We love pizza. We love to eat stuff that's just so good, but it's just so bad. And then you get depressed, and you have, like, something happens in your life. You get fired, or your relationship ends, and it's like the last thing you want to do is get on a treadmill. You know, so stuff. Life happens, and how do you create a lifestyle where when life is happening all around you, that you can sort of start this, you know, be healthy and stay healthy and not get too far off track. And that's kind of what I really wanted to sort of look at in the book, which is why I took sort of a more holistic approach.
Mm-hmm. And you really talk about mindfulness as one of the really important elements to a healthful life.
Yeah. Well, I think that's been sort of the icing on the cake for me as I get older. You know, and I think when you have a mindfulness practice, whatever it is, I find that it just sort of takes the edge off of everything. You know, it grounds you, keeps you centered, it keeps you more focused. All the things that, once again, science now is backing up. A mindfulness practice is true, I think, is one of the great, you know, stress alleviators. And stress happens to be, you know, one of the worst things for our bodies, mm-hmm. in terms of, you know, creating illness and actually, you know, weight gain too as well. So, I'm a huge proponent of a meditation practice or a mindfulness practice, and I couldn't speak more highly of it. I mean, for the last, I'd say, 2 years now, you know, a year and a half, I made myself do that as a daily routine, and it's been the great shift for me, just in terms of feeling grounded and centered.
Mm-hmm. That's astonishing.
That, you know,
I'm going to try this. This is good. This is very good information. You talk also about ways to love your body and staying away from negative thinking. Because that doesn't help anybody.
Yeah, no, I mean, all of these things too, you know, they're easier said than done. But I think it's important to keep the dialogue going, you know, and negative thinking is a huge, huge part of, we don't realize how much negative thinking that we do. And by the way, it makes sense based on society and what sort of images that are being sort of put in front of us, things that we can't live up to, you know, and then we start labeling ourselves, or we start putting these sort of negative, ideas into sort of our psyche or out into the world. Negative thinking is one of the things that can lead to a lot of depression and a lot of stress.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So I think that's a wonderful thing to have an awareness of. And then when it starts happening, I mean, we all do it. We all do it at some point in a week or in a day or in a month or whatever. But, you know, it's a good thing to remember that, oh, that, you know, once that, I can reframe that if I want to. I can choose to not think in that way. And it can be very helpful to starting to feel good about who you are and accepting, you know, what we've been given. Because, I mean, it's always good to have goals, but, you know, it always sort of pains me when you see people really get down on themselves because they're not living up to something that they think they should be.
Certainly.
Or something's unattainable to them. And so they think negatively of themselves. But that's like, I don't know, it's one of the saddest things. I hate to see that. So, but there's ways to reframe that. And I think it's really important for women to, especially women, to honor themselves and their bodies and first, and then start the process of how and where they want to change things and be realistic about it. Because the more sort of carefree we are about these things, the more we're sort of happy in that space or feel confident in what we are, no matter what, actually is when things start to kind of drop off much easier.
Absolutely. Well, Kate Hudson, I want to thank you for the conversation and the book, Pretty Happy, Healthy Ways to Love Your Body. Wishing you all great success with this project. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'm Valerie Smaldone on the Envision Radio Network.
Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. Can you keep a secret? Well, it may depend on your, get this, birth order in the family. Here's the developmental science of it. It seems that the oldest brother or sister in a family can keep secrets better and longer than the other kids in the family. Mothers and fathers teach this strategy by saying, "Don't tell your little brother," and this translates to the real world. If you're bursting at the seams to tell a secret, make sure you only tell it to a firstborn individual. They'll keep it. Want to get a secret out of someone? The reverse is true. Go to the person who's the baby of their family and they'll spill the beans every time. What's the cheap psychological trick? Keeping a secret is a valuable skill, but it's something that's taught before the secret can be kept. Check out my book, Cheap Psychological Tricks for Parents, at drbuff.com.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit happylandaudio.com. That's happylandaudio.com.
Order in the court.
This is attorney Jay Coleman with The Final Verdict. John is homeless and lives on the streets. One day, John ordered a cup of coffee at Starbucks, but when he couldn't pay for it, the clerk demanded the coffee be returned. Surprisingly, John threw the hot coffee in the clerk's face. John was charged with aggravated battery and received 2 years in jail. How could throwing a drink result in a 2-year jail sentence instead of probation? The final verdict after this.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit happylandaudio.com. That's happylandaudio.com.
John's public defender and the prosecutor both agreed that a homeless person could not be eligible for probation. How could a probation officer keep weekly tabs on a person without an address or a phone? And that's the final verdict.